Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hold up, wait a minute, put a little love in it.
Loveline.
This is Loveline.
With Stryker and Dr. Drew.
Call Loveline. 800-LOVE-191. Loveline is on now.
All righty, welcome to Loveline. Real quick, in the beginning of the show, in that intro, when you hear that singing, sometimes people say, what song is that from? That is no song. The man who sings that is the dude back there in the green hat who showed up at Loveline tonight for the first
time.
His name is Trevor.
Trevor.
Trevor, for the first time in about 5 months, he just stopped by to say hi with his lovely wife, Lauren, who was junior producer Lauren, Dr. Drew.
Yes, she was junior
producer Lauren. And they are such a nice and generous couple. Every time they swing by just to say hi and check in.
They bring food.
They bring food. And it runs the gamut. And I want to introduce our guest because he's our guest. And then I want to talk about something specifically which has bonded us before the radio program even started.
You and the guest.
That is correct, sir. Uh-huh. Andrew W.K.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Stryker. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Wonderful being back here.
I don't want to sound like I normally sound, which is gay, but you look great.
Hey, well, thank you. So do you.
Thank you. You've never seen me before, but...
No, I did. On your website, I saw pictures.
Oh, you did?
Checked you out. Yeah, I looked you up and down. Well, the picture didn't go all the way down to your feet.
Right.
But about to the knees, and everything looked pretty good.
I looked all right in that thing.
Yeah.
Andrew W.K. really does everything, Dr. Drew. Produces reggae, self talks, motivates, opens clubs, has solo records, and likes donuts that are fused together.
You're right. This is how we bonded. Because, as you mentioned, Trevor and his wife brought food, and the food they brought tonight was donuts.
Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme brand. And if anyone's familiar with Krispy Kreme, as you probably are, you're aware that it's a mushy, soft donut. It's a soft dough.
With a hole in it.
With a hole in the center, as it should have, and sometimes frosting, usually some kind of sugar coating. But the donuts that Stryker and I prefer are the old-fashioned kind.
Oh.
The cake donuts.
The heavier, cakier, crumblier, more like a muffin.
Right. Ah. And they're kind of odd-shaped. They're almost like a football-shaped.
Well, they make them round. They make them as a cruller, I think they call it, when it's that long, oblong shape.
Yes. And then I mentioned Andrew W.K. I'm like, there's a crease in the middle, and then he gave the greatest line of all time. Yes. I don't know if you said someone in the back, that's their job, but they're fused together, two separate entities.
Two halves of dough.
Yes.
And perhaps that's when they add the cream filling or the custard, they then fuse it after that. But I think they inject custard. And they often don't inject custard into those cake donuts. They usually do it into the more mushy ones. But what? I like a strong mouthfeel, so the mushy ones aren't good for me.
Can someone bring us a Winchell? Well, and speaking of donuts, Andrew W.K., we had a caller call in recently. Well, two. The first one called in. He tried to have sex with a bagel, and it burned his penis. So I suggested you should use...
it was hot?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he toasted it. He wanted the pain of the crumbs and everything. And I said, you know what? Go for a jelly donut. It's got the little hole where they inject it.
Yeah.
Just widen that gap and, like, grab the top of it like it's somebody's head and dump that jelly donut on your penis.
Yeah, yeah.
So the poor sap who is 12 called up and is like, yeah, I was doing it. Now I have an infection in the penis hole.
From the jelly donut.
That is correct.
So neither of these bread products are advisable at this point.
Right.
I think we've seen this in a movie like American Pie, mm-hmm. and it seems so fun and inspiring when we watch it in the movie. But in the movie, it's all special effects. I don't think Jason Biggs really did penetrate the pie. But maybe he got inspired himself and tried it.
It depends what acting school he went to.
Method acting, you might actually have to try it.
And then the guy with the thick eyebrows, whose name is...
Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy, who's also in Splash, walks in and is like, Jim, when I was your age, I masturbated. Not with baked goods. So,
and
Drew.
It's a new thing.
Happened to be in New York Minute.
Eugene, right. Dr. Drew's also a movie star, by the way, besides saving lives and helping kids.
Wow.
He was in this movie called New York Minute with Olsen twins and Eugene Levy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. What was that, 5, 6 years ago, 7,
something
8,
like
nine,
that,
10?
Yeah.
Okay.
5, 6, 12,
and honestly, I tried watching that for support. No good. But I did watch your Roadhogs, right? Drew was in Roadhogs with
cool.
good old Tim Allen.
Wild Hogs?
That was
Wild
quite
Hogs.
A cast, actually. There was also John Travolta's in that, is that right?
Martin Lawrence.
I met Eugene Levy at MTV one day, and he was very nice.
He was a very nice guy.
Really, really good vibe. And I asked him about the old SCTV cast,
yes.
and Joe Flaherty, to be exact, this one guy who you see pop up every now and then. He has a lot of friends, so they give him opportunities, but he was one of my favorite people on that original Second City Television Canadian show, which so much talent came out.
John Candy was in there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Martin Short, Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Little Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis.
Did you say horrors or?
No, isn't it horrors? Did I say horrors?
It sounded like you said it, but I think you just slurred
maybe
it a little
bit. Maybe it's the porno I saw, and not the one with Rick Moranis or something.
Yes.
I don't know. Andrew W.K., you're born where? Out here, right, California?
I was born in Stanford, but I was talking with Dr. Drew, and I think I'm a little confused about my history here. I was only ages 0 to 4 in the California area, but my dad taught at Caltech, so I had to live somewhere around there. Then he taught at the UCLA, so I was living somewhere around there. I have a strong memory that we lived in Stanford, in Brentwood, when we were closer to Los Angeles area.
You weren't on Rockingham, were you?
What's that?
That's a street where OG lived.
No. Okay. No. I lived here till I was 4, and then we moved to Michigan. But I feel a connection here. My mom's whole family is from California.
Oh, nice. And now, let's talk about this just briefly now, but of course, as the 2 hours go, we'll talk into a bunch of stuff. How many records have you put out?
I myself have put out 3 full-length albums as Andrew W.K.
And you have very rabid fans that are very dedicated to you.
They've been foaming.
And after shows, they hang out, and I know you hung and hang out with them.
I've had the pleasure of it.
And all that talking to your fans hours after shows has kind of led into motivational speaking. Is that fair to say?
I would say that is exactly how it happened. I never had planned to be a source of motivation for anybody. In fact, I thought the music would probably be the best motivator, and I think it probably still is, but people took it upon themselves to ask me for advice, and might have just started with one or two people, but I was so moved or maybe even surprised that someone would ask me, this bloody-nosed guy with the Party Hard song,
right,
for relationship advice or how to get over depression or whatever their question may have been. I was very moved by that and tried to give them the best answer I could, and that sort of started that ball rolling. And I really like it. I like the idea, not that I'm helping someone or telling them what to do, but that I can talk about ideas that I've been thinking about for myself and maybe see what they think. And if it works for them, maybe it'll work for me and vice versa.
That's very cool. And I know you've spoken at Yale.
I did recently.
Jesus.
It was
good
very
stuff,
fun.
Drew?
Did you ever speak there, Drew?
Did not.
Okay, well, then I got one up on Drew. Here we go. So you went to Princeton. I haven't been there yet.
You'll enjoy it when you go.
Thank you.
I spoke at Santa Monica City College.
You did?
No, they wouldn't even have me there. But I am willing, if any JC or Pac-10 school, other than Stanford, Berkeley, and UCLA, I'm down.
Stryker's available.
Washington State, Arizona State.
Okay.
Did you say JC Pac-10?
No, I said JC or Pac-10 school.
Now, JC stands for Jesus Christ, is that right? Did you talk about Christian schools?
Yes. Jesus Christ saves, God invests.
And God is love.
That is correct,
sir.
All right. Andrew W.K. is here. And Brandon, what's happening? You're 19 on Loveline.
Oh, not much, dude. Jesus, I just wanted Christ. To say that I love the show, and I love that you have Family Force 5 on the intro.
Oh, nice.
Thanks. Is that what that countdown was? Is that what you're talking about?
We don't know.
On the intro before the show or the intro to the show?
To the show, the hold up, wait a minute, put a little love in it.
Oh, yeah, that's what Trevor made. Is that right?
That is what Trevor made.
It is. It's very, very striking, Stryker. When I heard that, I immediately, my ears pricked up, and I said, what is this song? It's got a cool vibe. Why not make that into a longer song?
Trevor, did you hear that? Trevor, are you listening? We're giving you love in there. Trevor, hello. Okay, it's all right. He's not listening.
I totally agree with you that
he's humping the donut.
It's a very hot track.
Humping the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that is correct.
That's what they call it, Krispy Kreme.
I mean, the name of his album also. So go ahead, Brandon.
I have two questions. I have been lately, like, getting addicted to getting high in, like, any way. Like, I smoke weed, but this weekend I took some ecstasy. And, like, now, like, every night I'm wanting to get high, and I want to find out what I can do about that.
Well, if you're ready to do something, you can get into a program. I mean, marijuana is your main drug?
Yeah, I do that about 2 or 3 times a week, but lately it's been like every night, and then once I did ecstasy, I kind of think I messed myself up pretty bad.
How? What do you mean?
Well, like, I lost a lot of memory of the weekend, and ever since then I've just kind of been wanting to take it again. And
was it a real speedy ecstasy where you stayed up for a long period of time?
I was up for 48 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And you can't remember the 48 hours?
No. Well, I remember some of it. Like, I remember, like, seeing things, like, hallucinating and, like, remember a few things, but I don't remember much of it.
I don't know if ecstasy makes you hallucinate too much.
Well, sleep deprivation could, though.
That's true, but nothing about that sounds like ecstasy.
Sure wasn't LSD, and you're just messing up the pronunciation?
Could have been dipped.
I don't know. I got it from the guy that said this is X or E.
Yeah, sometimes they'll mix other things in. It'd be like LSD and heroin and stuff like that mixed in.
Ooh. Hey, who did you do it with a bunch of friends, or were you just rolling solo through Peoria?
I was at a party on Saturday night.
Right. Good old house party for ecstasy.
Did you not get high ever before? This is some new trend that you're practicing?
Did I like it?
No, did you ever? You never got high before. You never got drunk before. This is something new for you, drugs in general.
No, I drink extra a lot. I should probably slow down on the drink. I drink like four nights a week, and I smoke. I've smoked a lot of pot before.
So when you were smoking pot, how much would you smoke? Like one joint, or was it a whole big day of pot smoking?
It was just about 2 hours worth, like a couple bowls.
May I ask you a more personal question?
Yeah.
Has there been any sexual stuff mixed in with this? Like when you get high, you get horny, or vice versa? When you get horny, you want to get high?
Yeah. Like, when I get high, I get horny. Like, Saturday, it was pretty sad. I was calling up the girlfriend a lot, even though she was sleeping.
Hey, well, I can relate to this. That's why I'm asking.
You should have gone on Craigslist and paid 200 roses for someone to come to your door.
I've heard some things about Craigslist. It gets pretty crazy on there.
Well, here's the deal, Brandon. You probably have a family history of alcoholism, right?
Not really. My parents were big partiers, but that's about it. Well, I mean, they weren't alcoholics. They were probably like...
Well, it depends. Listen, alcoholism is defined by using in the face of consequence. So I promise you it's there.
They had you, which could be the consequence.
Right. And here's the deal. When you're ready, there are people that can help you with 12-step programs. It's not something that's going to be easy. You have to be ready to do it. And you might want to start with MA because you'll see a lot of people there with your story, or go to AA. But
what's MA? What is MA?
Marijuana Anonymous.
Oh, wow.
And but you know, it doesn't sound to me like you're ready. If you're serious about it, go check it out. The people can help you.
Andrew, how many times have you been on Loveline?
3, I think.
This is the hat trick tonight?
I think so. I think so.
And so you've done it 2 times before. We start talking on the radio. We take the first call. Now you remember exactly what the show is about, of course, right?
Yeah, drugs.
Sex and ridiculousness.
So. It's all coming back to me that this is the greatest radio show on.
Can we get that on a loop, please?
This is the greatest radio show on.
Can we get that on a loop, please?
This is the greatest radio show
Hold
on.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. I love that song. Have you heard of those donuts that are fused together?
So, we got our first caller. Okay.
All right. Let's go to... hello, Tori.
Hi.
What's going on? You're 20.
I am. My boyfriend, he cheated on me, and we've been high school sweethearts and everything. We've been through everything together, and I just couldn't lose him, so...
You know, I love the way... I got to stop you right there. I love the way people say we've been through everything together. When people say that, I just hear, we had a crappy relationship, we were addicted to each other, we wouldn't let go, we kept cheating and abusing each other, and yet we clung into each other.
Been through so much.
And we worked it through, we went through so much. If you were 28, you would not have put yourself through any of that. You would have just ended the relationship, and that would have been that.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Be that as it may, what exactly happened?
Yeah.
Well, I might be naive, but whatever.
Evian, right.
Well, yeah, since he cheated on me and I just couldn't lose him, I asked him what I could do to, like, you know, make him, like, change his mind and stay with me. And he said that he would, like, really enjoy, like, a threesome.
I'm sure he would.
What an a-hole.
Wow. So would you...
I was kind of down for it, too. So I asked him, like, to invite somebody over and to find somebody that was down with that.
A girl or a boy?
Well, I thought it was going to be, like, a girl, but he called, and to my surprise, his best friend James came over.
Yes!
Yeah, I was shocked, too. Yeah, but... I don't know. We still kind of got into it, but since like he invited a guy, I'm just kind of wondering, like, does that mean that he's gay or?
No, it doesn't mean he's gay. It means he's kind of an a-hole. He doesn't care about you, and he's treating you like S, and for some reason you're allowing it over and over again. And while talking to you, you seem nice, and you don't seem terribly stupid.
Very sweet.
And I just don't know why you're allowing this jack-off to do this to you.
I don't know. I just love him. I am naive.
So what did your father do to you?
My father, I do not live with my father. I haven't seen him in a couple years.
Why?
He's kind of an a-hole, too.
Shocking.
What'd he do to you?
He didn't really do anything to me. He just kind of can't really talk to me or anything. He just kind of neglected me.
Where's my bourbon?
So you can't imagine what it is actually to have genuine closeness and attention from a man that actually cared about you. So you experience exploitation and abuse as love, which it is not.
Well, he never really, like, abused me.
No, I know he would. Did he ever hit you?
No, he never hit me, but he just didn't really, he didn't really notice that I was there.
Well, again, I'll repeat myself. You are experiencing exploitation just out of desperation to be close to somebody, as though that were caring and nurturance and love. It's not. It's exploitation. The guy's an idiot to put you through this.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it takes two to tangle.
Hey, Tori, I know he's an idiot. And I hope you'll learn that someday and somebody will actually care about you. You don't deserve this.
But you know what's going to happen, Drew, when someone cares about it?
She'll blow it up.
Some people get addicted, as much as our first caller was addicted to this high, some people get a high from the drama of emotions that we have from relationships.
That's usually when they come from chaos. When they come from abandonment and neglect, they're just desperate for anything. And when they get real closeness, when somebody's actually available for a relationship, they blow it up.
Right.
Tori.
I'm really stingy at times.
Tori, when your boyfriend brought in the friend, did they do anything together?
Mm.
Well, yeah, they kind of, at first it was just like all about me, then after a while they just kind of put me aside and I don't know.
Come on. No,
no, they didn't.
No, they did not. They did not have a sword fight or anything. Come on, Tori.
What did they really do?
Well, now it's starting to fit together because this is just bogus call.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. This is totally bogus.
Really? A female doing it?
Because she didn't give us the feeling of what the story was she was describing. You know, you were like, she sounds so nice. You don't sound too stupid, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Dr. Drew is operating on such a subtle level of awareness, the way he's able to pick up on this from doing it so much. I mean,
that and right now, my antennas are all on full power from this TV show I'm doing. Like I feel like one of those...
Yeah, you're operating in a heightened state.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Altered state.
The show Drew's talking about, of course, Celebrity Rehab 2. I'm not going to even mention what day number it is because you don't want me to do that. But it is about the 14th day, right? 14th day. And you got Rodney King in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You got Tawny Kitaen in there, right? Mm. You got Gary Busey.
Wow.
Has he tried to beat anyone up yet?
Or no.
He's good.
He's not violent, is he?
Oh. He doesn't know, he doesn't really comprehend.
Sometimes. Really? He's that? He seems like he must have
we're
some kind of...
We're really helping him. He's really getting so much better.
Did he shave since the last time I was there?
Yeah, he's doing great.
Oh, good. I was there, we did the show from Celebrity Rehab 2 a couple nights ago.
Oh,
not
wow.
necessarily to, not to interview anyone there, but just because Drew's schedule so crazy, I went there.
Mobile.
But
Mobile.
Right, exactly. So after the show, after Loveline... Look, the whole cast was asleep, and he's like, come on, I'll show you the tour. And as I'm walking by this room, kind of on my tiptoes, his man with blonde hair and the scruffy walks and goes, hey, what are you doing? Gary Busey.
He is intense,
yeah,
right?
He is.
Wow, one of a kind.
Annabelle, what's her name, or the one from the Steve Carell movie with the van and Greg Kinnear's in that? Wasn't he hugging her on the red carpet or something? Right? Who's talking? Anderson, you're talking in my ear.
You've turned on your mic.
What's happening?
Guys? That's cool.
What's going on right now?
I don't know.
We're on the air? Is this the radio? this is TV.
Okay. Hey, do you guys like those buttermilk biscuit?
Holy cow.
The buttermilk cakes?
Yeah, Southern style chicken.
Those are the best, right?
Yeah, those are very good.
No, they're not the best.
The best. The little mini loaves with the sugar.
Second best.
What do you like, Drew?
You like the old-fashioned donuts?
Old-fashioned.
I prefer
they're good. They're not the best.
It's mouthfeel. Nothing's the best. It's whatever you prefer, right? It's the mouthfeel to me. I want it to be cakey. I just don't want something that squishes. I understand the air. It's puffed air and the Krispy Kremes. I want it puffed with flour and oil and butter and egg.
I like you very much, Andrew.
We relate to this. I'm glad.
Yes. So should we play Lee Scratch Perry's song now, Anderson, or are we doing this after the break?
After the break.
So we're going to go into break.
Anticipation.
1-800-LOVE-191 is a number. We're going to play a song from Lee Scratch Perry. He is an old school, legendary reggae artist, and Andrew W.K. produced this dude's album, which is coming out in August, right?
August 26th.
All right, we'll talk about them more after the break. And also, I want to know if the club you opened up in New York City.
Okay, yes.
He's a smorgasbord of intelligent. What? I don't know what that means.
Oh, fun.
Okay, good. It's Love Line. Stick around.
Yo. Loveline is coming back.
Loveline with Stryker and Dr. Drew.
All right, welcome back to Loveline. I'm Stryker. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Our guest tonight is Andrew W.K. He's put out solo records. He's a motivational speaker. He's produced records. He's been on the MTV2s of the world to the MTVs, and he does it all. And we were talking about Humpty Hump during the break.
Yeah, because we were listening in here. You might not have been able to hear it on your radio, but we were listening to a new Digital Underground, a new Humpty track, and it was blowing my mind.
In what sort of way?
Every way, like a strong wind, I guess, or like blowing through a keyhole. I mean, he was talking about all kinds of stuff.
He was talking about a pee hole, I think.
Oh, pee hole.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah.
I thought he was doing drugs off a key.
No, that's another song, but the first one, he effed her in the pee hole.
Oh, wow.
And he also asks you to eat boiled peanuts.
Yeah, well, that's down south style. I can relate to that from my Florida time. The guys in my band really liked eating boiled peanuts.
Let's hear what else he said when he was here.
Do you have the one he was rapping, that one part?
Yeah, his guest banter.
It's just a freestyle. Meanwhile, we keep that beat kicking. Sweat dripping. Girlies in the limo eating chicken. Oops, don't get the grease on your pantyhose. I love you, rubber. Move over. I got to blow my nose. Sneezing. Still I'm pleasing. All these slimmies. Pull out my Jimmy. Time to get busy with a Jenny. If it's good and plenty. Don't you know? There I go. There I go. There I go. I don't go nowhere without my gym hat.
When
I'm rapping, in case she's clapping and I'm strapping because I'm smarter than that. And then, baby, maybe we could get along. Booty after booty. It's just the same. All around the world, saints. Wow. Everybody in the building singing with me. Oh, that was mine.
Say what, say what, say what, say what. Shock.
All around.
Eli.
All around the world, saints. All around the world. It's the same. Song, song, song.
Wow.
Money B, the freaky dicky, the squeaky
little. He's on fire.
Down. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'll be right back. I gotta take a
look. All right, there we go.
Oh, wow.
He is so smart and so talented.
So quick.
And so quick. But what's going on with the guy,
Drew? I keep saying he's a living Andy Kaufman. He really is.
Oh, okay.
With a musical.
He took the torch.
Flamboyant thing, yeah, yeah.
And his voice is really beautiful. He has a really particular tone. It's instantly recognizable. It's slightly nasal with the. The Groucho Marx glasses. Was he wearing Groucho Marx glasses?
Oh, let's show you some pictures.
Oh, yes, sir.
Did he have the customized? I mean, he had the gold nose
he brought.
Very advanced style.
He gave us the glasses.
Yes, we're framing them.
He gave you.
He gave us the glasses, Andrew W.K. Guys. Now, here's the thing. We think he woke up the next morning going,
holy crap.
Where's my glasses?
Oh, no. And you're not going to give them back, right?
No way, man.
Those are very valuable. I mean, that's like a Hard Rock Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of
piece. I would think.
One would think they would be at the Hard Rock in Vegas, seeing them on the wall, but no, they will be on the wall here or at Drew's house or at my place.
But not on eBay.
No way. Mm-hmm. Andrew W.K. is here on Loveline, and speaking of music, we're going to play a song from Lee Scratch Perry, and just a little musical lesson. Explain to our listeners who that is, Andrew.
It's a long story, but the short of it is Lee Scratch Perry has often been considered the pioneer of reggae music, and many of us are familiar with reggae for Bob Marley. And Lee Scratch Perry produced Bob Marley, wrote songs for Bob Marley, and really helped push Bob Marley. He also invented a kind of music called dub, and that's a very early version of extreme remixing. So he would put on a song that he'd already recorded and mute whole parts, mute the vocal, or just add little snippets. Anyway, he's up there with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. He's up there with Phil Spector. He's up there with George Martin.
Wait, he's in the middle of the next one.
I'm just saying. He's something I think you'd want to see.
Wait, this is important. I'm looking at a picture of
bottom right. Here, click
Humpty
it, Drew, so it grows.
Yeah, grow that picture, would you?
You were just giving the best, such musical.
So Lee Scratch Perry is a living legend. He's 73 years old. I had the great honor and pleasure of working with him making this album called Repentance, which is coming out August 26, 2008. And the song we're about to hear is called Poom Poom. And this, Stryker, is the world premiere.
On Loveline.
It's not on Loveline. It's never been played before on any radio. So you everyone's listening here, you tune in, you check it out. There's a song here.
Hit it. One more night. Some fun. Go to a nightclub. You should have some fun.
Look in a boom boom. Look in a boom boom.
All right.
Look in a boom boom. Look in a boom boom.
Yes, boom boom. Yes, boom boom.
Boom boom come. Boom boom goes. It's all right. Boom boom come. Boom boom goes. Spend the night. When you do a nightclub in New York City, when you do a nightclub in New York
city. Yo fana pum pum for my kitty. Yo fana pum pum for my kitty. When you go a nightclub in New York City. When you go a nightclub in New York City. Yo fana pum pum for my kitty. For my kitty, 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 kitty. Pum pum come, pum pum go. Enemies will come and police may go, but Jesus Christ remain. Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum.
Yes, pum pum, no pum pum.
Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum.
Yes, a pum pum, yes, a pum pum.
Good vibration,
good vibration.
What a good sensation.
Good vibration,
it's a good vibration. Good vibration, good vibration. Good vibration, a good vibration. It's a good sensation, good vibration. It's a good vibration, good vibration,
good vibration.
I say. Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum.
Jamaican pum pum, Swiss pum pum.
Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum. Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum.
Give me more, give me more.
Look in a pum pum, look in a pum pum. Find a pum pum for my kitty. Find one pum pum for my kitty. In New York City. Rub it like rapid and you rub it like rock. Rub it like rapid and you rub it like top. Rub it like rapid and you rub it like hot. With a good sensation, a sex vibration. Pum pum fresh and pum pum steel. Pum pum steel and pum pum fresh. Pum pum old and pum pum young.
Young.
Jesus Christ, give me more. 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 Jesus Christ,
give me more.
Give me more. Boom boom, a young boom boom. Give me more. Boom boom, young boom boom. Give me more. Boom boom, a young boom boom. Give me more. In New York City, give me more vibration.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That sounded great in the headphones of the processing. That is a world premiere. It's called Pum Pum. Lee Scratch Perry, by the way, is 73 years old. Is that right?
That is.
Okay?
That sounds about right to me. But he's very young. I mean, the music keeps him young. The art keeps him young. He says he's addicted to art. And I think that addiction has been a healthy one for him.
And he wrote Bob Marley songs, some Bob Marley songs, and worked with, produced, etc., correct?
Yeah, he's worked with everybody. The Clash, the whole wave of punk that was very influenced by reggae, he had a big part in that. This guy has been going nonstop at the forefront of creativity. So being around him, let alone making music with him, just being in his presence is very intense. And I feel incredibly blessed to have been able to work with this. My friends, I told them I'm working with Lee Perry, and they said, how can you produce a record for the greatest producer alive? I said, that's a really good question. So basically, I facilitate him. Whatever he wants to do, I try to make it happen.
Now, how did you get that gig?
I met him in Austin, Texas, at the South by Southwest Music Festival.
Right.
And I had an opportunity to interview him for DirecTV, who was presenting and producing a live concert series where they wanted to also talk to the artists afterwards.
Right.
And I was very excited. I hadn't really been that familiar with his music. I was just familiar with his legend. And I felt a little intimidated, a little scared. People told me he was really intense. He could be eccentric or mean. He's crazy, all this. But he was so nice and so clairvoyant. There's this intense psychic feeling that you get when you're talking to this guy. And the mystical sides of him were really interesting to me. And I told the label, I said, anytime you want someone to work with him, I'm ready. And about a month later, we got a call to do it. So it's changed
my life. They called your bluff.
They called my bluff. Yeah. I said, oh, shoot, I guess I really have to do it. No, if anyone asked me, what's the one thing you could do or the one musician you could produce or record, there'd be no other better choice. I mean,
congratulations
thank
on
you,
that.
Thank you. Well, congratulations to Lee.
If anyone did not like that song, something is screwbally with them, because that sounded... anyways.
Hey,
some
thanks,
reggae
Stryker.
Songs can sound, I think, not fantastic, but a majority, if they're done correctly, it's like, how can you not
it's a
just
good
sit
vibe.
There?
I'm glad I feel the same way. Any reggae song is a good reggae song.
Elliot, you're 15 on Loveline. Take it away.
Hey, man. I've been using a bike pump to blow air into my butt so I can fart louder. Is that bad for you?
True. Is
Andrew,
this a real call?
Andrew,
I think
I say we take it as a real one. This is good stuff.
I think they've reserved a position in heaven for
Elliot. Yeah.
I do. I think there's a place for him up there. Elliot, you know, I know young males, and they do a lot of screwball stuff. So I bet, A, he might be telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, this is totally real.
And if he's not, he's thought very hard about doing it. He's getting close.
Now, is this an erotic? Are you doing this?
No. I saw it on a TV show, Kenny versus Benny.
Yeah,
just for fun.
I tried it, and it totally worked.
Yeah.
So it sounds great.
Yeah, there's nothing intrinsically problematic about it.
I know a better way you could fart without using a bike pump. You get on your hands and knees, and you get in the... And you
the hell are you going to say?
No, this is real. I've done this before.
I'm just listening.
You get on your hands and knees.
Rhetorical question.
And you stick your ass in the air and you
arch,
right? Yeah. You arch your back and you kind of like
show us. Show
no, I'm not going to show anybody. And you kind of like pull your chest open and push lightly but not too hard. And all of a sudden the air somehow.
Oh, that you can do.
You can start farting.
Oh,
yeah.
These are wonderful stories.
Oh my God, Anderson, he's one of these guys that. Like the women that can fart with their vaginas on command?
Yeah, I can kind of do that.
Queef, I think.
Not can do it with his butt. Oh.
Yeah, and you suck the same air.
No,
the air that you've expelled.
Yeah. The best thing that's happened to us.
You pull it back in.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
It's proof positive.
Yeah, I've done a lot of crazy things, but that's not that hard to do. So, Elliot, instead of, because that'd be really weird if your parents walked in while you're pumping air in your ass that's supposed to be used on your tire.
So, wait, Stryker's like the opposite of the crab walk.
Yes, it's the opposite of the crab walk.
And by the way, Elliot, I keep a little poison pill stuck in the back of my cheek here, a little cyanide, just in case I walk into my kids and see something like that. Boom, and bite down on it right there. Pow! Boom! Down.
Cyanide in your
cheek. So, Elliot, you might kill your parents if they see that.
Be sure to warn your parents.
She already knows, my mom.
Your mom knows.
Where's
your
dad? You got a cool mom, then.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
Well, see, your parents might find something erotic in this and then take it into the bedroom for themselves, so maybe you're helping them out.
Your poor mom.
Well, see, but I will say that passing wind is an erotic act. It's been associated with erotic acts. It's very advanced or maybe...
It's stimulating some delicate neurology.
Some people, like the Marquis de Sade, right? He's really into... people farting in his face in the 120 Days of Sodom, they're all into that. And I never even thought about that as being erotic. But when you're debauched and you're looking for that next
that stimulation.
Thrill, you go to the bike pump.
Oh, man. Hello, Sarah.
Hi there. Hey, guys. What's up?
My
question is, I'm 21 years old, and my boyfriend's 21 as well, and we've been together for about 10 months now or so, and... he doesn't want to have sex with me anymore.
Ooh.
Never in the mood, never initiates, and I don't really know what's going on. I know we probably had that whole like honeymooner phase, but I don't know what's happening.
Is that when you watch the show a lot? Jackie Gleason?
Whenever couples first get together, it's very common to tune in and watch Jackie Gleason.
Pow, right in the kisser! To the moon! Pow, right in the kisser!
Sarah, is he on any medication or drugs?
Pow,
right in the
kisser. Pow,
right in the kisser.
So quick.
Was that a no?
Pow, right in the kisser.
No.
Pow, right in the kisser.
And how long has he been shut down like this?
I'd say probably a couple months or so.
So you guys been together 8 months, then all of a sudden he's sort of out of the game.
Well, we've been together 10 months, but it's probably been going on for about 5 months now, half of the time we've been together.
Whoa.
Does he, are you aware if he's still pleasuring himself?
I've actually asked him, and he says no, not at all.
Wow.
But he even said, like, maybe if he's doing that, then that's, like, taking all the sexual energy away from me.
Right, right.
But, no, he doesn't even do that.
Oh.
He even said, okay, maybe you should do that, because maybe it'll get you in the mood more often, but not even that. He's just never in the mood. His libido is so low, and I feel like a nympho, because I'm all over him and crazy, so...
Do you guys do girlfriend-boyfriend stuff other than the sex? Do you go on dates? Is he romantic without the sex?
Yeah, we actually, we just moved in together. Like, we do go on dates. Like, we have kind of opposite schedules as far as work, so we try and spend as much time together as we can.
Is he affectionate with you otherwise? Does he hug you, touch you, cuddle you up?
Sometimes. I'm more initiative still in that department, too. But, yeah, when we're by ourselves, and sometimes, yeah, it's not as much as I would like, but...
Maybe the moving in scared the chi out of him.
Ooh.
Yes, well, chi. He was the one that first brought it up.
Well,
I thought about that, too, and I even asked, like, do you regret moving in together? And maybe he's just afraid to tell me, but I don't know. He was the one that first brought it up, and we've moved in together, and I...
There's a depression.
Yeah, something is very wrong.
Yeah.
This is not, oh, well. This is something is very wrong.
I know, I'm trying to figure it out, because I want things to work, and I don't really know what to do. And
either...
I'm thinking, okay, is it me? Is it
hold on. It's not you. So either he's being deceitful and deceptive and something is going on, he's just not willing to tell you, like he has somebody else, or he is, you know, porn addicted or God knows what, or he's using drugs. Two, he's on a medication that is shutting him down. Three, he has a medical problem. He really, a 21-year-old who shuts down like that, I mean, you got to think biological first.
Yeah.
And depression could be a part of that potentially. Okay? Something's wrong. Something is really wrong.
Yeah, I just need him, I guess, to try and get him to open up towards me, try and talk to me about
or to get a medical evaluation if he's unwilling. This is not something that has an emotional basis to it.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, it'll
thanks,
be okay.
Guys.
You're going to be just fine, though.
All right.
Because you love sex.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
If you were here, we'd have a give you a donut.
You can prove it.
All right, be good.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Drew, real quick, let's just take one because the person's been waiting. I think you can just tackle this one. Hey, Mike in Modesto.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, take it away.
Hey, you know what? I have a primary question that I was going to ask about 6 years ago about a mole I have on my back. There's hairs growing out of it. Is it possible? Can I pluck those hairs instead of cutting them or shaving them so they don't grow back thicker?
The hairs do not grow back thicker when you shave them. Otherwise, we would have giant trunks coming out of our face. Number one. Number one.
Thicker as you go.
No, it does not. No, it does not. Number one.
That's a wise tale.
Yes. Okay. And number two, there's absolutely no reason that you shouldn't pull the hair out. There's absolutely no reason
well,
if you want to.
Well, it's up at the top of my neck, and it kind of sticks out of the back of my shirt.
Pull it out.
It's not a big hair, but it
pull
can
it out.
It's so fun, too.
Or annoying.
You'll get it such a thrill from pulling out those hairs.
Have your girlfriend do it.
Okay, well, you know what? Honestly, the reason I called is because my girlfriend and I were talking about the sport badminton, and she said that the it's called a birdie. It's called a birdie, you know?
Yes.
And when I was in school, they called it a shuttlecock.
That's the right word. You're right.
The shuttlecock.
Shuttlecock.
Right. Thank you very much. Can I let me hear her say that. It's a shuttlecock. Tell me it's a shuttlecock.
Andrew.
It's a shuttlecock.
He wanted her to say it.
Because she didn't believe me. And
it's called shuttlecock, and it's one of the greatest words.
It is, though, because it's true.
Not as good as the nickname of the South Carolina football team. They're the Gamecocks.
Now, where does that come from? What is this, the genesis of that?
Well, a shuttle, I imagine a space shuttle, right? So maybe this thing is flying through the air like a spaceship.
It sounds like something in the days of the British Empire.
And it has a round rubber little end.
I got to know.
Okay. All right. Are you cutting? I think we have to cut that last part.
Boy.
Andrew WK is here.
I blew it.
He's a Californian, a Michiganian.
And a New Yorker.
And he's got a brand new club. So how new is the club in New York?
It's so new that it's not even officially open. It's only in
where is
a
it?
Soft opening. It is on Lafayette Street, right below Canal. 100 Lafayette Street. It's called Santos Party House. 2 floors, 8,000 square feet. We got a live music venue on the main floor. We got a dance club, nightclub downstairs. We got 3 bars in the place. We got the best sound system, best lights. It is the new place in New York. It's a virgin space.
Andrew, so when Dr. Drew and I go to New York City, can that be our home one night?
Not only can it be, but if it's anywhere else that you would go, you would be in big trouble. This is the hot spot to go. Dr. Drew's going to hold court in the back room for 48 hours
straight. Let's do it.
We should do a show from there, Drew, from New York City,
please.
From Santos
Come
Party
on.
House.
Tell me when.
I'm ready.
That would be awesome.
I will host you.
Thank you, sir. We're going to go to a break. 1-800-LOVE-191. What's that?
I'm just looking at shuttle has something to do with looming and threads. And so,
okay,
so that's where the shuttle comes.
That's why they call a space shuttle that.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute on Loveline.
Hundreds and hundreds of teenage boys and girls are becoming hopeless addicts every year.
Loveline with Steiger and Dr. Drew.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Loveline. We are here with Andy WK.
Ow!
Ooh! That wasn't me.
Sorry, man.
Stryker and Drew are poking and pinching each other. I've never seen this before.
Can I get that on a loop? I don't hear what that sound like. Oh!
It Drew. Sounds like you're a fantasy, actually.
Drew, did you hurt your knee when I did that?
No, fine.
Okay, good. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Was that it?
Sure.
No, that was a security guard that died on us, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He was on the phone with us.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking security guard. Hey, Lauren! What's going on? All right, welcome back to Loveline. Andrew WK is here.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing all sorts of things. I want to talk to you real quick before we take a call about your motivational speaking.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how it started. How did a university like Yale track you down,
mm-hmm.
and why?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all a bit of a mystery to me as well. I think that's part of the phenomenon, though. It wouldn't make much sense for a guy like me to speak at Yale, so maybe that appealed to them, the incongruency, the novelty of this long-haired rocker guy going to Yale and talking about partying. But I think they had fun with it in the end, and I spoke about the importance of having fun. I think I talked about a conversation I had with a friend of mine, and he was saying, yeah, it's nice and all to say that you want to have fun and be in a good mood, but what about all the problems in the world? How can you be in a good mood with all the problems? And I said, well, how are we going to fix those problems? In a bad mood? No, we're going to fix them even better if we're in a empowered state of mind. So I think that's what we focused on there. And it was pretty intense because there were some older professors in the audience and some people with their arms crossed that looked kind of like a grumpy old man type character.
Right. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Exactly. Jack Lemmon vibe was very strong at the Yale. But it challenged me, and it was a very new and exciting experience.
Good, man. That's awesome. Hey, Mickey, you're on with Andrew WK.
Hey, I just want to say it's a big honor to talk to all three of you tonight.
Yes.
So my fiance fell out of a window, fell about 20 feet recently, broke two vertebrae and both her ankles.
Wow.
And it just so happens that this is around the same time that we're moving.
Wow.
Now, so I've been putting all my time between the hospital work and moving the house. And the landlord calls up and says, well, you guys should be out of there by now, so I'm going to come by tomorrow and just toss everything that you've left behind.
Out the window.
So, yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Same window your lady fell out of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have just been so stressed, and I feel like I'm on the verge of a breakdown, and I haven't known what to do. And then I'm packing up, and the place is kind of a mess, and so I'm going through all my CDs and stuff, and I find the liner notes to The Wolf are loose. And I look up and I look up the lyrics to the second half of Totally Stupid.
Oh, and, wow.
And it really, like, it kept me going. It gave me a
wow. That's the second album he's talking about. I didn't anticipate you bringing that up in this conversation, and I'm just blown away. I'm a little speechless. I'm so glad. The song he's talking about has this second section that sort of is different from the first, and it goes into these lyrics. The lyrics are, when we look into the future to the place we haven't gone, see what we haven't done, we have known it all along. If we wait until tomorrow, will tomorrow ever come? And it will. The landlord's going to come tomorrow, so don't wait.
And there's a kind of a happy ending to the story, is that the landlord came and he was super, super understanding, and he's actually helping me.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, I don't think that's a coincidence. You changed your state of mind, yeah.
And I have to say, I've been following you since before I Get Wet came out. I bought it on the day it came out. Actually, I saw your show here in San Francisco. I think it was the first show you did with the band.
The Bottom of the Hill?
Yeah. And I've seen you every time you've been in San Francisco, and we really miss you here. But
thank you. You've blown my mind and made my day. I'm very grateful for your support. I'm a little speechless. Thank you so much for telling me this story, and I'm so glad that you're going to be okay and it's all working out just fine. And I'll see you in San Fran sooner than later.
Great. Thank you. And, you know, thank you so much for everything that you've done.
You are welcome. Thank you.
1-800-LOVE. You want to just leave now? You just want to grab a donut and go?
I can die now. That's just so kind.
That's very nice. Ashley!
Hi.
Thanks for waiting. You're 23.
Yeah. I've been with my boyfriend for about 3 years, and we recently got engaged. And I'm a little concerned because he's not entirely stable as far as a job goes.
How old is he?
He's 24.
And what kind of work does he do?
Well, right now he's doing janitorial.
Right now, Drew. Yes. I love when they say right
always
now.
Always a bad sign.
Right now.
You don't say right now I'm going to Yale. You say, right now, I'm doing janitor work, or right now, I'm looking for work.
What kind of janitor is he? Is it a school? Is it a church?
It's a bunch of different places.
Is he like a freelance janitor?
No, he actually, it's his parents' company.
I see.
Does he wear a one-piece suit with a zip down the front?
No. Jumper.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Coveralls.
Yeah, coveralls.
He was working as a truck driver for about 9 months.
All right, what's your question?
Well, I'm really concerned. I don't know what to do to, like, help him, I guess.
Were you supporting, are you supporting the two of you?
No.
Okay.
No, it's between the two of us. I don't make a lot at my job either.
Hey, is it the style of job he has or the amount of hours he's working? Because those are two different. Maybe he works 40 hours a week as a janitor. A-okay.
Brings in good money.
Yeah, no, I'm totally okay with what he's doing. It's just that I know he doesn't want to do it forever. And, he's working, 50 hours a week right now.
So you're wondering if you want to commit and marry a man that you think is unstable financially?
Yes. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Well, probably not, right?
It sounds like not, right?
Yeah. If you're having second thoughts, but you've already been engaged, so you don't want to give up and throw it away too quick.
Right.
I don't know.
I love him. I really do.
Why don't you guys sit down and make a plan? A financial plan, like, you know, from this year to this year, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to train, we're going to do something better with ourselves, or we're going to move, or we're going to start a company, but sit down and plan it out.
That's a good point, because a marriage ultimately is this team, and with that power of two, you can accomplish more than you can on your own, so maybe you can inspire him to shoot higher and put
together
that plan. However,
if after 6 or 8 months you don't see that plan taking form, I would seriously expect...
Jump out the window with that wife.
That's your future.
Keep the ring, though.
Oh, come on.
Can you cash that in? When you talk
I don't know how expensive the ring is that the janitor bought her.
That's a good point.
Ashley, also, a guy that always depends on his parents for a job, especially like that, and he's 24 years old, and he hasn't moved up the company ladder to manage the actual janitors, that's what would frighten me. He's not even high enough in the own company to tell the janitors how to sweep. He's the one sweeping the floor.
And it's mom and pop telling him.
That is correct, sir. And on that note, we go to break. 1-800-LOVE-191. Andrew WK is our guest, and we'll be right back.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline is coming back.
Welcome back to Love Stryker, Dr. Drew, Andrew WK. Drew, this is one of the first nights in a long time that you got the full tie, shirt, nice shoes, things on tonight.
Pen in the pocket.
Yeah, I came directly from the hospital, didn't have time even to throw a shirt on.
You were there at what time till what time today for Stubby Rehab?
7:30 to 9.
Straight. And what, anyone go completely
banana? Oh, yeah.
We know Jeff Conaway's back in there. Is he up to the same tricks without revealing too much?
Yeah.
Is he being nice to you, though?
Yeah,
because I know he likes you.
At times.
Has anyone mentioned your arms yet in this show?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
shut the hell up.
Why? What? He's got great arms?
Huge arms.
Really?
Oh, he normally wears a black T-shirt, and you can see them all. And in Celebrity Rehab 1... Drew's a doctor, of course, so he wears doctor gear.
Sure, scrubs.
But one night we're working in here. Well, many nights this happened. One in particular was 11 o'clock, like about right now, his pager goes off, and it's the hospital saying, Jeff Conaway's freaking out, blah, blah, blah. You got to get here. Drew's like, I'm on the radio for another hour. So 12 o'clock hits. Drew runs out, jumps in the car, drives to Celebrity Rehab, and he's talking to Jeff Conaway, who is out of his mind. Right, and all of a sudden, while he's blabbering about nothing, he's like, blah, blah, blah. Drew, you have really nice muscles.
Oh, wow.
He's like, you're really nice looking in that shirt.
Well, that's a really nice compliment. That must have made you feel great.
Helped him calm down.
You gave him something to focus on.
Exactly.
So he needed some flesh to lock on to.
And then one of my favorite things also, and it's the first one, Drew, when Jeff Conaway wouldn't give you his telephone. And you were like, Jeff, give me the phone. He's like, I'm not giving you the phone, Drew. And he was like,
I think that was the
stuck
same
in a wheelchair. Yeah, it was the same scene. And he was holding the phone away from Drew's arm. And Drew's trying to grab the cell phone because they can only use cell phones a minimal amount of time.
I see.
And then it was just, and it's a very fun.
A really long night, it sounds like.
If that had been the only one, it would have been. But there were 20 other like that.
Oh, boy.
And this year is, all I can tell you about this year is that Jeff Conaway is up to the same tricks. but things are so active on the unit that you barely notice him. He's sort of jealous.
he can't compete anymore.
It's tough. It's a tough unit.
Who is...
I can't tell.
Okay, fine. All right, fine.
You got to tune in, folks.
Yep.
See the muscles? You got to tune in.
See the I think that's going to be the slogan for Celebrity Rehab this year. See the muscles, tune in.
I really want to see the muscles. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to see
All right, fine. Now you sound like me. Okay, let's go to... hey, what's up, Robert? You're 22.
You see Stryker sucking some air and fart.
Okay, I'll try it real quick.
Oh.
Hold on. You got to go like...
Okay, he's getting up. He's now perched. He's on his hands and knees. Now, careful. Don't get rug burn.
Why is Pete looking?
No, don't everybody look.
Hold on. I'm getting nervous. I'm getting farters nervous.
You can't do it if you're nervous.
Okay,
it's
hold
just
on,
like
hold
being
hold
pee shy.
Okay.
Okay. That sounded pretty good.
I almost crapped my pants.
I think he got a little nervous.
I almost Hershey squirted. All
and
right.
It smells really bad.
No, it does not, does
no,
it?
It's pure.
Oh,
it's totally pure.
My belly is very upset right now. Just from doing that, honestly, you got to tense your muscles up and...
It's a great exercise.
Yeah.
It's like a kegel.
The show has reached a new low.
Yes, but lows are high.
Well, I think people are going to think that was some sort of drop. That was Stryker.
Actually, I don't even have one of those sound effects in my entire
Now you
system.
Do. Now
no,
you do.
I do not. I will never use it again. Terrible sound. I feel like going to puke.
So proud of
the
you.
Show has really evolved since I was
oh,
last
very
on.
Much higher brow, yes.
It's maybe de-evolution of something.
Oh, come
to me.
On,
no,
Andrew
to me,
WK.
To me, this is much better.
Good.
Hey, yeah. Robert, what's up?
Hey, earlier today, I called another radio station that was very blunt about moving on about this girl that I've known for 8 years.
Yes, so.
And I'm calling you guys because I trust you guys, and y'all seem to help with the finer points.
What's the deal with her?
Well, I know now that after 8 years, I flew out there. She didn't show up. They told me, basically, I need to move on.
Hold on a minute. Whoa. Slow down. We don't know. We don't have any details here. What?
8 years?
Flew out where? What are you talking about?
I live in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
She lives in California.
How did you meet her?
Online.
How long ago? When you were 14?
Yes.
Wow.
On what website?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, of course. I want to tune in.
Harry Potter message boards.
Yeah. This is great because you found someone that had something in common with your interest. That makes sense.
And she's supposed to be 14 too?
Yes, actually she was 13.
No, she's a 42-year-old male, by the way, that lives...
Yeah.
You haven't met her? You never met her?
I have talked to her on the phone, so she's actually a 42-year-old male with a voice changer.
Okay, so she's not. That was a joke you just made.
Yes.
Okay.
I realize.
Stay away from jokes. Do not try to...
all the time.
Yeah, do not try the guy. Forget whatever other advice we give you. Remember this. Do not make any plans to go into comedy. Just don't do that.
All right, Robert, hold on. I want to reset this. You're 22. At 14, you're on a Harry Potter chat room message board thing, and you met a young lady in there.
Yes,
you started chatting back and forth. After how many years did you decide to talk on the phone? How long did it take before you spoke on a telephone?
I didn't get her phone number until last year.
So you went 7 years of typing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
How long
off
when you talk to her online?
That's 2,100 days.
That's some good math.
How often would you talk to her online?
No jokes.
I would talk to her every day online.
And what kinds of things would you be talking about and say in recent years?
Recent years, we kind of drifted apart and got together because I joined the Army for a while. And it shortened my time. We would just talk about how our day was going, how... her day was going.
And why didn't you connect with her before 8 years had passed? I mean, meet her.
Well, one, I wasn't financially able to make the trip.
Uh-huh.
But how come it took 7 years to get a number?
Well, was she just a friend? Did you have other girlfriends or other interests? Or was this your main heartthrob?
I've cared about her the entire time. But there was one other girl that I dated.
Okay,
that
good.
I got really serious with.
Good. That's probably was a good idea.
So what happened then when you went to fly to California, and where were you supposed to meet? At the mall? At Olive Garden? How did it all go down?
That wasn't really covered. I told her we can meet at my hotel. If she wanted somewhere more public, I'd go to the mall. I would go wherever she wanted to meet, where she felt most secure.
And what did she suggest?
She didn't return my phone calls.
Robert, talking to you is like playing handball against a curtains. you made plans to go to California without having a plan to meet her? And then you went without a place to meet her or a confirmation that you would meet?
Wow.
Well, she said that she was going to meet me no matter what. Nothing else, she would meet me at the hotel. But then once I got to California, I couldn't get a hold of her.
Mm. Did you bring your computer and go online and say, where the heck are you?
No, I have a desktop. They wouldn't allow it on the airplane, I don't think.
Well, I guess there's no access to internet on a hotel. They don't have them on every television and in every lobby.
That was a joke, too.
I know. Me, not him. It's okay if I say it.
I'm telling him that it was a joke. I think it's good that you had another relationship, and I'm just surprised that that you went on so long. And were you really nervous about flying over there?
Very.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what is wrong with you, Robert. That's the thing. What's going on?
It's a curtain.
As far as relationship or as far as what I want to know from you guys?
No, what's wrong with you? Why do you build a fantasy relationship that... Listen, if you'd been in a flesh relationship from the age of 14, we'd be questioning you about this.
Mm.
This wasn't even a real relationship. And you live in that fantasy world, and you go to California without any plans to meet this person. What is wrong, Robert? What's going on? What
did it feel weird to you, like what you were doing might be a little weird or crazy?
I knew it sounded crazy, and it might be a little crazy.
So what's wrong? What's going on? Do you have some issues?
You've been looking for things.
Probably a few, yeah.
What are they?
Depression, problem, or I guess depression isn't the right word. Possible bipolar is what I was diagnosed.
You've been hospitalized before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how many times?
Twice.
Okay, so two psychiatric hospitalizations.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is part of your psychiatric pathology here, this whole thing. And I would urge you to be working in therapy, to get somebody to talk to, and to try to think a little more in a more grounded way, more connected to reality, and get more specific with things. Don't believe what you want to believe or allow vague denial to sort of go forward before you've clarified what it is you're planning to do. Just make plans, move forward with clarity, keep your feet on the ground, and talk regularly to a therapist, okay? We don't know what the hell went on with this woman. Something's wrong with her, too, I promise. What went on
and
with her?
It's messed up that she led you on into thinking.
We don't know. We don't know what. We don't know what went on with her. We just know that she's also maintained a relationship from the age of 14, maybe, provided she's not 52. But even so, that's a little bit problematic.
Hey, where in California?
Yeah,
I flew into Ontario and.
909.
This is going to sound really bad. I know how to look at programming codes and get some basic details, so instant the emails I received come from three different locations throughout the Covina area.
So that's why you just flew out to Ontario.
Oh, you didn't tell her you were coming. You were stalking her.
No. I told her we talked for about a month beforehand. She knew I was coming. The plan was to meet at my hotel room. If I got there and she didn't want to do that, we would meet at Ontario Meals Mall.
Great.
I had the map. I knew how to get there, and she said she was in Ontario, but her service was to Covina.
All right, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry that we were laughing so much because it is a crazy funny story, but please follow Drew's advice, Robert. Please.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And for the love of God, do not fly anywhere else to meet anybody from Harry Potter, the Goonies website, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Star Search.
That's 3 stars out of 4 for
other,
you, Andrew.
Other than a categorical avoidance of comedy as a career, if you develop a relationship of online of greater than 3 weeks duration, meet in the flesh in a public place with your friends around.
Yeah.
Meet in the flesh.
To get it over with, almost.
3 weeks minimum, then flesh meeting.
Flesh meets. 8 years, Andrew, of internet
talk. Yeah, that's
talk.
Bold. I've heard a similar story about this I won't go into, but I understand how people can really get wrapped up in a fantasy, and it's very stimulating.
Very unhealthy.
And very unhealthy, apparently.
Wow. Speaking of unhealthy, Alex?
Hey.
What's happening?
Oh, no, kind of weird question. Long-time listener, first time I ever got in here. Andrew WK, what happened to you? I loved your music.
Oh, thank you.
He's dead. Yeah.
That was a compliment in a weird sort of way, by the way.
It's a roundhouse backhand.
I don't know what happened. I lost your CD a long time ago, and the other day I just felt like listening to Andrew WK, and so I...
You found it
again, and I love it. So,
well, thank you very much. I'm glad you called, and thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, kind of a weird question. My girlfriend, we've been dating for like a year and a half, and it's been like this ever since. She just kind of, she stinks down there, and it's pretty bad. Like and it even tastes funny.
Mm-hmm. Pu,
and
yeah.
That's usually an infection. Mm-hmm. So you should get her to the doctor,
and you should do it in a way where it's. You make sure you're not putting her down, yeah. And try not to let her know you're disgusted, and take that take the health route. Like, you know what? I was listening to the radio, and just let you know there is kind of a smell down there. It's but just I think you should maybe get it checked out,
just for health reasons.
Yeah,
not for sexual reasons.
Yes,
because I mean it's not a terrible smell.
Well, any smell.
Oh, then forget it, then, Alex. I completely take back what you're just talking about. Yeah. I love the way people if
talking to you, Alex, is like playing. Handball with a curtain.
Yeah, you nailed it with that one, Drew. That was
brilliant. You've never said that in the 2+ years I've been here with you.
Mm. I could instantly grasp the feeling of that. We've all thrown something into a curtain, seeing how it just falls like a wet noodle.
That's actually a statement from the previous illustrious
man. Oh, really?
To sit in that seat. And he brought him up tonight, and that's why I was thinking some of his aphorisms. So
Drew.
He's channeling.
We need to give you a slogan to say on Celebrity Rehab, like Harlan Williams said on Conan.
Like a catchphrase?
Yeah.
The problem is, for every 600 hours of taping...
Who knows what's going to end up on there.
One hour goes on there. Right. So
when you promote the show and you're on who knows what,
oh, there we
then
go.
We'll give
there
you
we
a
are.
Slogan.
There we are.
Do you think you will do it, though? Could you do it?
Possibly.
If Harlan Williams could do it, you could do
Harlan
it,
Williams could do it. He's superhuman, though. He can do anything.
He's got to say at the end of every single sentence, then it'll get in the show. It'll make the edit that way.
There you go. Let's talk to... Chris has been waiting a while. Go ahead, Chris. You're on Loveline.
Hey, what's up, Andrew? How you guys doing? I just want to ask about the new record with Lee Perry. How long did it take you guys to record it in the studio?
Well, we worked in two stages. First of all, thanks for asking about this. We worked in first stage was recording in Anaheim, California, by Disneyland, and we assembled a band there. Lee came out. Directed us, told us what he wanted to do. Then I took that material back and worked on it for a while, mixed it, polished it up. Then we met again in Brooklyn, New York, about 4 or 5 months later, and he recorded all his vocals all in 4 days. Then I took that and mixed it and worked on it more. And then he worked a little bit in Switzerland, where he lives with his wife and family. And then we've been sort of fine-tuning and mastering. We just finished the last week, pretty much. So it's very, very fresh and very, very new.
And then I wanted to ask you, didn't you do something recently with Sightings? And I know you did.
Yeah. Wow, you're very in the know. Yes, Sightings.
I wanted to live and shave in L.A. And
yeah.
Like, and stuff like
I'm very impressed. You're going very deep. These are somewhat obscure bands to some people, but not to you.
Yeah, like I just want to know if like what are your current projects that you're working on right now?
Okay, well, thank you for asking. This Lee Perry record comes out, as I said, August 26th. And other than that, I'm working on a new album by an artist named Alistair, who makes a cameo appearance on the Lee Scratch Perry album on a song called Party Time. And I'm also working on music by an artist named Bad Brilliance. So watch for those soon. Go to interwk.com for details.
Are you going
to
put out another solo record?
I will. Actually, I have 3 of those in the works. So I got my hands full with music. I'm overloaded with music. If you want music, you'll get it.
And you've done a lot of TV work as well. One memory I have of you is cornrows at a university.
You're right. That was North Carolina University, a primarily black college, NCCU, North Carolina Central University. And the funny thing is, the cornrows were so tight and painful that I went to sleep thinking of nothing but these braids on my head, and I ended up having a dream about Alicia Keys, who often had cornrows as her hairstyle. The funny thing is, after all these years, since filming that, I met a guy who was friends with Alicia Keys, and he told her about my dream. And that was really, really special for me because I kind of had a crush on her at that time.
Who doesn't? Yeah, Alicia Keys is very and talented.
Very, very appealing.
Now, you, right in the... Okay, Andrew WK, right now, as he appears to Dr. Drew and I, looks very clean, very nice, very like he's going to eat at the Beverly Hills Hotel or something like that. But when you walked into some of these universities when you were filming MTV and when you did, you know, I imagine, I remember blood on your face and the cover of records.
Yes.
You scared the hell out of people.
some people are easily offended by dirt. And I thought, hey, if I'm going to be an entertainer that maybe is working in the shock rock genre, then maybe I just don't wash my clothes, and that's half the battle. And it was. Not wearing deodorant also really helped. Not washing my hair helped. All those things helped. But they didn't help avoiding rash on my skin. So I ended up getting a really bad rash from not shaving. And that's when I kind of started cleaning up. And that brings me to today. And I feel really great being clean. My skin is not greasy. I don't slip when I put my clothes on, things like that. So.
That's the name of my album, by the way.
I Don't Slip?
Yep.
When I put my clothes on?
No, just I Don't Slip. Actually, I Don't Slip, parenthesis, when I put my clothes on, close parenthesis.
I can tell you don't slip, Stranger.
That's right. Chad?
Yes.
What's happening, man?
Hey, everybody. I wanted to say, hey, you guys definitely rock. Dr.
Thanks.
Drew, you're the bomb. And Sober Rehab was definitely a very good show.
Thank you.
So, here's what's going on. For a while now, I've kind of considered myself potentially a sex addict. And then kind of also wondering if it's just a need for affection or attention from women. I guess maybe the reason I lean towards sex addict is because, you know, semi-excessive masturbation.
How much?
Sometimes once a day, sometimes three times a day, sometimes, you know, in the middle of work, I decided that it's something that has to happen.
And that's the best kind.
Yeah.
The kind when you're away from home, you're in an unusual situation, unusual place. Yeah. Or a place where you're not supposed to do it. But is that excessive? Three times a day? One time a day is not, is it, Dr. Drew?
One time is not.
Two times?
Three, you're getting up there. It depends on your age.
We know Andrew's schedule now.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Yeah. And so what's going on in your relationships?
Well, I'm married, but I'm an adulterer.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow.
That's bad.
Well, how long have you been doing that?
Oh, off and on. I did it for the first couple years and then quit for a couple years and then kind of...
She never found out?
Yeah, she did. We separated and then I kind of came clean and told her about it and told her I wanted to get things worked out. And so we worked things out and things were going for a couple years and then... I don't know. I mean, a lot of it's for me to blame, but I think... I have a lot of issues with her excessive drinking and drug use, which I don't get involved with, you know, so.
Yeah.
This is, Chad, you need to talk to somebody. There's a bunch of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
I can't say that you're a sexual addict per se, but this something not so good going on.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, what defines a sex addict?
Sex addict is, you know, any addiction is really defined by the consequences of the addiction. And in his case, he's having some consequences in terms of the cheating. But sexual addictions usually involve getting into more highly arousing circumstances and dangerous circumstances and spending money and, again, affecting relationships and health and even criminal activity, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I actually did go see a counselor, and they kind of said, what's going on? And I said, well, I look at pornography excessively and, you know, masturbation, cheating. And you know, they kind of said, so how have you been caught or how has it affected you or, you know, how has it shamed you or how has it gotten you in trouble? And I said, not really at all. I just know that those things aren't okay, and I'd really like to, you know, fix that.
You just,
and they said, nah, well, I don't really know what to do because you haven't, you know.
Then you're not, it's not that I don't really know what to do. First of all, you need a diagnosis. I mean, are you bipolar? I suspect you are a trauma survivor that just smacks of real serious stuff in your childhood. And, you know, I would sit down. You need to see a psychiatrist, get a thorough evaluation, get a good therapist going, and there may be some 12-step in the future for you. I'm not sure.
Let's play the match game going into break.
Okay.
Andrew WK, the match game is kind of like that old game show, Blank.
Wait, what?
You follow me. You're very smart. You're very good. Don't worry.
My friend's cellmate in prison masturbates with Blank.
What?
Now, we're going to guess what Blank is after the break. After the break.
Sorry.
My friend's cellmate in prison masturbated with Blank.
Right.
So we're going to have a competition when we come back to see who can get the Blank right. We don't know what it is. Only Petey in there knows.
And what is this quote from?
Not a quote. This is someone's call. This is the subject of the call.
This is one that's coming up?
Yes.
Okay.
The first one that we'll talk about when we come back with Andrew WK hanging out on Loveline.
Loveline will be right back. 800-LOVE-191.
All right, welcome back to Loveline. There goes Pete.
I like Pete.
Pete's my manager.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yes, he is the best.
Is he a New Yorker?
No, but he spent a lot of time in Boston. Why, are you picking up on some kind of East Coast vibe?
No, I don't know. We don't need to talk about that. Just kind of a little bit, sort of.
Well, that's good, though.
Andrew WK is here. Andrew WK, by the way, recently, or is about to open a nightclub in New York City. This
it's
is
open.
Soft open. Soft
it's open.
Open,
yeah,
right?
You can come 7 nights a week till 4 a.m. There's dancing. Whoa. But if you're looking for the full-blown experience, it's going to be another couple weeks.
And the name of the bar slash club is?
Santos Party House.
Canal and what?
Canal and Lafayette. It's Lafayette Street right below Canal.
Canal.
Chelsea area, kind of that?
That would be considered Chinatown or Tribeca area.
Tribeca, the
but
other side.
Near Soho.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell my friend Scorch, whose name is James, who lives in New York City, that needs to start going there, by
Bring
the way.
Bring him on. Anybody wants to come party with me, come to Santos.
That is so... And why is it called... What is Santos? What does that have to do with it?
Well, the story is, originally we wanted to call it Santa, like Santa Claus, Santa's Party House. And then we realized that associating liquor with a popular children's character like Santa might not go over so well with the New York State Liquor Authority. So we changed it first to 100 Lafayette, which is the address, and then we thought that was a little boring, so we changed it to Santo, which is our own guy. Santos is just a guy.
Got it. And it's good that I like calling places by one name. It's Santos, but Party House.
Yeah, that's like the parentheses.
Yes.
It.
Is there food as well served in there?
Yeah, we have some kind of food, yeah.
I love New York spots, Drew, that are bars and clubs, but they all, so a lot of them have just minimal amounts of food, and
have
it's
the
greatest food, though, the best
it's
kind
required.
Of food.
It's yes. required. It's usually not required to be very great, but we'll make a nice meal for anybody.
I'm going on a ship tomorrow for a bachelor party, and I've never been on a ship.
Cruise ship.
A cruise for 3 nights only. It goes to, well, somewhere in Mexico, I think.
Okay.
And it gets there, it leaves tomorrow, I think, at 4, and it gets to somewhere in Mexico, and then it turns around, and then it lands, or gets back at 8 in the morning on Monday.
Do you get off the boat at any point?
And then I think Ensenada or somewhere. Yeah, you get off for about 10 hours.
I think
hours,
I Southern California. You just get a boat. You're another country.
Yeah,
another
that's country. Really cool.
I'm kind of nervous. Speaking of food, though, but I just found out it's all you can eat any hour of the day, anything you want, basically
included.
All included.
Wow.
All
I like
included.
That. I like that. I've been on big ferry boats, but never a cruise ship, and it really seems like an amazing experience. These days, they're so big, they got bowling alleys, movie theaters, ballrooms, giant rock climbing walls, Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's like a city.
Yeah, they have a water slide I'm excited about.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can have a great time.
Yeah, it should be good. It's my friend's getting married.
Now, a bachelor party, normally there's supposed to be the sex summit. Is that what you guys are going to do, have sex with strippers?
No, there's no strippers on the ship.
Okay.
No, not at all. And he would never do anything
never.
Like that anyways. No, and no one would allow him to do that either.
Never.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Never. You're not recording this, are you, Fletch? No, never,
never.
My friend's cellmate in prison masturbated with blank. Masturbated with blank. Little match game music, please, Anderson. What do you, what's, Andrew WK, what's your guess on this?
I was thinking first, like, I think I said egg, but now I'm saying sandpaper. Because when you're in prison, you might be debauched, and you might need more friction than...
Is that one word or two words?
Sandpaper?
Yeah.
One word.
That's one word. Okay, sandpaper. God, that's a good answer. I'm going to go with, my friends have masturbated. He's in the thing. I'm going to say potatoes.
Interesting. Cooked or raw? Like a baked potato?
Yeah. No, cooked. Mashed
How about
potatoes.
With gusto.
That's two words, though. It could be two words?
No, one word.
Gusto.
Gusto, okay. Gusto.
No, I'm just saying.
That's not your... Do you get to make a guess?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I'm winning this whole career.
Soap.
We all met. Come on, Drew.
Shampoo.
No, that would burn the penis hole. All right. Jose?
That's true, it does.
What's your answer? Or what's the answer?
Bologna.
Oh. Bologna. I knew it was a food.
Imagine the stink. Really, imagine the smell that would build up, especially if you didn't shower afterwards, you put your underwear back on.
It feels like the real thing.
Is it one slice, or is it putting it through all the slices, like penetrating through? Because if you pushed hard enough, you could pile through a whole package of Oscar Mayer. And there's still...
Like one slice, and you wrap it around.
Okay. All right, so what's the point?
I don't know.
No, it's just like a great tip.
All right, I like that. So, kids, don't use jelly donuts.
No.
Don't use...
Sandpaper.
Sandpaper or cooked bagel
or gusto
or your mom's coat.
Don't use human waste.
Ugh, God.
That was actually my first guess. I thought that was too unlikely.
Right. No, but actually, but for love on, you never know.
Yeah, and in prison, you never know.
If people want you to speak at an event, how do they find you, by the way? Yeah, MySpace or anything?
Yeah, all my contacts are on my MySpace, all the contacts on andrewwk.com. And it's pretty easy to get a hold of me. I like to be gotten a hold of by the cool people, so write to me, cool people, and we'll have fun and party. That's my thing.
And then when is the next time approximately you'll be, you told us you're working on 3 solo records?
Yeah, one of them is a solo piano album, which I've been planning on doing for a long time, so I'm excited. Just totally instrumental piano. And then the other two are a variety of different recordings I've had. I've been working on some of these songs for over 10 years.
You and Humpty, one of the same.
Has he been working that long?
10 years in between.
Wow, yeah. Well, this I put out a record in 2006, so some of this material is just that old.
Got it.
And I think people will like it, and it's nice and new. New sound.
Hello, Juan, you're 19. Yeah. Pronounced with the Humpty. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Well, I was, you know, doing my girl, and then, I knew, my friend, which is her brother. He was, in the closet.
Her brother?
Yeah, her brother.
Is he, how old is he?
He's 19, too. Same age as me.
Okay. Can you pick up the pace, little one? Come on, buddy.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, I was giving it to her, and then, I gave it to her, on her face and stuff.
Mm.
And then, lately, me and him, we haven't been that close as we usually been. I just want to know, is it because it's his sister and he saw us, or what?
Yes, Juan. Yes. You yeah. orgasmed on her face, Juan, with the brother watching. Yes, Juan.
But it sounds like...
By Juan.
He described that he had chosen to be in the closet so he could watch this, it sounded like.
You knew he was in the closet, Juan.
But,
Juan, yes or no, did you know he was in the closet?
Yes, I did.
And why? Okay, go ahead.
Did he go in there intentionally, though? That's all I'm asking. Was his plan, I'm going to watch them have sex, I'm going to hide in here?
Because I told him, hey, man, what are you doing in my closet? And he was not really shirt. And, he was just I thought, I don't know what he was doing. And then, his sister came over, and I forgot that he was in there.
You did not forget he was in there, Juan. That was a stupid move on your part to do that. Your relationship with the brother is done.
Bogus.
Sounds like he got turned on by, you think it's a bogus call.
I was walking in my room, found my friend in the closet. I said, what are you doing there, man? Oh, I'm here to watch it. Wait, don't we have sex? Oh, okay. Oh, and then I forgot he was in there. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
what did he do to the girl's face, Drew?
Yeah, and then he did his thing.
He did it.
Hey, did you guys ever see Gummo?
That's this girl I know's favorite movie, and I've never seen it.
Harmony Korine.
There's this scene, yeah, exactly. There's this scene where this guy rents out his retarded sister to have sex with people in the neighborhood, and he gets money for it. He pretty much pimps out his retarded sister, and then the kicker is he watches through his little slot and beats off while watching his retarded sister have sex. It's awesome.
Wow. That's Marquis de Sade level, I think.
Gummo. Who Solo. Did that movie, Anderson?
Harmony Korine, he already said it. And then Solo? Solo's the worst, dude. We'll talk
about that's Anderson. The 120 days movie, right? Yeah. I saw little scenes of it, and it was really disturbing.
Don't need to see it ever.
Yeah, it was fairly upsetting.
Why? What, that was the Marquis de Sade thing?
They reenact some of it very realistically, and it's powerful.
Cut off people's kids' tongues. And
yeah, and slicing eyes.
And making them eat feces.
Have you read that book, Drew?
No.
It's you could read even the first 50 pages and get a strong enough idea, but it is really over the top, and I really recommend it.
I don't.
What is the purpose of his writing it or having written it?
Well, some say it's comedy. Even some say it's so absurd that it's taking you to a level of absurdity that you don't get from any other book. And I can see that. But he has a really amazing imagination. So if you're into wild ideas, these happen to be the wildest ideas about sex I had ever read. It's pretty powerful though. So be careful.
Or just rent Quills.
Yeah, well, that's a mild version, I guess.
Wow, Chris.
Yeah, my question is, can pee cure athlete's feet?
No.
How old are you?
14.
Do you have athlete's foot?
Yes.
Can't you run up to the store and get some
Lotrimin.
Lamisil, a Lotrimin?
Yeah. I already have all that.
Okay, right. then it's not athlete's foot. Then have a dermatologist take a look at it.
All right, he's a great kid right there.
Oh, sweet.
John.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, so it started happening maybe a year ago or so. And my first experience was I woke up in the morning, my wife turns around and looks at me and says, do you remember what happened last night? And I have no idea what she's talking about. And she proceeds to tell me that in the middle of the night I woke up and started started foreplay. Started touching her and I think I went down on her. And
yeah.
I had no recollection of it happening. And then I got her really excited and I went to sleep.
Wow.
Whoa, move.
Wow, and then obviously she didn't try to wake you up in the middle of the night to continue the act.
She finished herself off?
You're a sleep tease, John.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a little different than sleepwalking. You know, I've listened to Loveline for a long time, and I've never heard anything like this, so I thought I'd call in and get your guys' opinion on it. And, you know, sometimes I continue and I wake up, you know, like, I wake up in the middle of having sex.
Wait, yeah. Wow.
Like, I wake up and I'm like, oh, what's going on? I kind of understand what's going on, but...
Have you been having dreams that relate to it?
No, not at all.
Drew, what do you know about this?
It's actually very common. And basically it's the case that anything you can do awake, you have the potential to do asleep.
Wow.
And sleep sex is something that's actually not that uncommon, though it's usually associated with sleep disturbances. So that is to say, maybe when your kid had night terrors or sleepwalking, that sort of thing. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, night terrors. Definitely.
Right.
That's what's a night terror? You wake up in a total
wake up
fright.
Yelling, yeah, oh, okay. And yelling and you don't remember it.
Right.
And this is kind of in the seizure area. It's sort of seizure-type phenomenon, and it's something that's difficult to treat, actually. There is some medication to help with it, and some couples get very disturbed by it. They have to really sort of, like, sleep in separate rooms and lock the doors and things to prevent the guys from
holy smokes.
Doing their thing in the middle of the night.
Is it more common with men? Is that what you're saying?
Most of the ones I've dealt with have been men, but I've seen it both ways.
Sorry, Strick.
No, that's all I was going to say, but what if John happened to have a, you know, he was... sleeping with his cousin that particular night, would he still do something like that?
I don't know the answer to that because you're usually not sleeping in the same bed with your cousin.
Over and the kid, there's no extra bed, and then the guy's got to share the bed with John.
Yeah, these things happen, don't
you? Yeah, Drew, this happens all the time.
But that I don't get called about.
Oh, you don't?
I hear this one all the time.
Yeah, well, John, here's the deal. You got to tell your wife. Well, first of all, you better be better when you're awake than you're asleep in this foreplay.
Yeah, otherwise sounds like she's going to get a weird thing going
on. Yeah, because you apparently did a fantastic job while sleeping.
No, it's great. Actually, the other night it happened, and I made her come, and then I went back to sleep. You know, like
maybe she's lying about all this, though. Has your self-esteem been kind of low? Oh, you remember that part.
I remember parts of it. You know, it's like if it goes on long enough, I start to kind of wake up.
Sounds really interesting.
Ask her for a little reciprocation in the morning. There's nothing better than waking up. Hopefully this will happen to me one day. Waking up and a girl below the equator taking care of you.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I should bring that up.
Yeah, bring that up right now. Go talk to her right now and get it done, John.
Bring it up.
I think she might have heard that. What do you think, babe? Reciprocation in the morning?
Never happened. Anyway, here we go.
Go for it.
She's giving me the smile and nod.
So good. Go for it, honey. All right, John, we got to go. Thanks for listening.
Take care, guys.
All right, we're going to talk about getting a bikini wax when we return. Not on me and not on Andrew WK and not on Dr. Drew Pinsky.
No.
1-800-LOVE-191. Andrew produced Lee Scratch Perry's new album, which is coming out on August 26th. We played a song earlier. Lee Perry, by the way, 73 years old, worked with Bob Marley, wrote songs Bob Marley. You named it, he did it, and kind of came up with that whole style of dub. Right?
Yeah, dub reggae. Yeah. Dub reggae. This is a leading artist. Not just music, not just a reggae style. This is a leading artist in the world, and he's alive and he's vibrant.
And where does he live full time?
I think splits his time between Switzerland and Jamaica. He came from Jamaica, and actually there's a great book. Anybody who's curious about this guy, you can find out everything you'd ever want to know, and then some, in a book called Lee Scratch Perry, biography, People Funny Boy by David Katz.
Your eyes were closed the entire time. Thank God we're not on television right now.
I'm trying to recall these facts. I'm sorry.
But soon we will be, Doctor. We'll be back in just a minute on Loved On.
Loved On's coming back. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on.
All right, welcome back to Loveline. I'm Stryker. That's Dr. Drew. Andrew WK is here as we hear MGMT in the background. Mm-hmm. You know those guys at all?
Yeah. I actually wrote to them. I heard this song, and I went to their MySpace page, and I wrote to them and said, I like your song, and they wrote back.
Shut the hell up.
And they said, thank you, Andrew WK. We like you, too. They live in Brooklyn, so we live in the same city. And I like that vibe. I really like that guy's voice. I like that music video. Actually, I'm friends with the guy who made their video. So I saw that first, and it moved me, and that's exciting to be moved.
It's amazing how the internet, whether it's the MySpace or Facebook, at as little as 5 years ago, people that were famous or notorious were untouchable.
Seems
now
like that, yeah.
People are touchable. Now, for instance, I wrote Humpty Hump, and that's how we got him on the show.
Okay.
I said, we talk about you all the time on Loveline. We love the Humpty Dance. It's Dr. Drew's favorite song.
From on MySpace.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And then he basically said, yeah, people are telling me about this. Let's set it up.
Well, can I say something? Drew, you can stop me, but when we arrived, the first thing you did when you came into the office is you sat down and you logged into your MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that should encourage anyone to go and actually write to Dr. Drew, because he's really checking it.
Right.
It's really him, and it's really me doing my page, too.
Yeah,
I have
too.
Help. We all have help at times.
No, I don't have any help on mine.
Oh, okay.
But
well, I'll help you.
You probably have like a million friends.
Not quite yet a million. I'm falling behind Dane Cook in that regard.
How many do you have?
I've only been on there since 2005, and I think now we got 34,000, something like that.
Oh.
What, you guys are... gosh darn it. Will you forward me some friends? I want more
yes.
friends.
You know what? Because of your solid appearance and your fusion of donuts.
Yes, donut fusion.
You made my top 16.
Oh, hey. Wow.
You're in there.
And, you
what? Sound very gay.
I'll let you take me out after a few days because I wouldn't want to keep
dates?
Some other people out. Yeah, a few dates. We'll go on a couple dates, keep you in the top 16. But I'm not going to hold you because what happens is you put someone up in the top friends. And then eventually, a year or two later, you want to put someone else up there. And then the minute they're gone, it's, hey, what happened? Like, every day they're checking to make sure they're still in there. So I'm telling you now, can take me out.
We're in Tom's top friends.
Tom?
The Tom?
Yeah,
Tom.
We're the wow. Tom.
Are we still up there?
Still in there.
I was afraid to look because they put us up there about 6 months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. You start to be... I've had that happen, too.
Yeah.
Where you get paranoid.
Yeah. Ashton.
Hello?
Hi, are we in your top friends?
You are.
Well, thank you very much. I don't buy it, but go ahead.
All right. I wanted to ask Dr. Drew if he knew, if he knows, can you get a Venera's disease from getting a, like, in particular, Brazilian bikini wax?
I don't see how. I mean, they're not reusing the products. There's nothing particularly, no, I don't see how you
can. Is she going down on you?
No.
Okay, then you're probably fine.
It's in one big container that I'm assuming it's not like it's one separate thing for each person.
Well, were you diagnosed with something?
No.
Oh.
The wax is not reused. The wax is taken out with a sterile stick. And, you know, forget it. It's super hot, by the way, right? So whatever's in there is killed.
Right.
And Andrew and I would like to know what style of wax you get.
Mm-hmm. Drew doesn't want to know, but we do.
It's the Brazilian. That's what I was wondering, because it's kind of...
In there.
Yeah, from back to front. Back to front.
To the tip, to the nip.
Do you ever yell with the pain when they're ripping your hair out of your anal area?
No, I don't yell.
Well, it hurts, though, doesn't it?
It does hurt.
And it doesn't over time start to numb? Is it always hurt it just as much?
No, not if you continue just doing it.
So it starts to numb.
Or anything, yeah.
Well, this is very erotic. I like it.
Well, thank you, Ashton. Have fun with the Brazilian wax, and I'm sure your man is very appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
And tell your waxer kudos.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye. Hey, Sarah. Sarah here in L.A., what's going on?
Sarah?
So turn down your radio.
What is she doing?
Oh, God. She can't. I hate that when they break the rhythm like
I
that.
I once tried to wax my
Jesus.
My
can
chest.
Can you please tell the callers to turn the radio down?
Oh, she got
it. Oh, good.
I once waxed half of my chest.
You did?
Yeah, and it hurt so bad I couldn't do the other half. And I've had a couple other friends that had the same thing. I thought, this is great. Now I have hair on my chest so I can actually try waxing it off, which is what I thought the whole point was, like shaving. But it didn't go well, so I don't recommend it to other guys.
I don't think I could ever get anything waxed unless there's money involved.
Yeah, no, I paid money to buy the wax, but that's the only money that was involved.
Now, were you doing that because you thought it would be sexy for playtime?
I don't know what I was thinking. I think it was excited that I could try this, like the first time I could shave my face. So I had enough hair on my chest. I mean, I was 18 or 19.
Right.
A little while ago. But it didn't feel good, and it didn't look good either.
Hey, Michael, you're 22. Take it away.
Did you bleed?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Just like Steve Carell in 40-year-old.
You've done it before?
No, it just sounds awful. Michael?
Anderson, are we potted up?
Michael?
Michael,
want me to pretend to be? Hey, yeah. So, first time caller, second time listener.
Michael, what, Andrew, he wants to know what comic books you're into, if any.
Ah, wow. Well, I used to be very much a comic book collector, and I fixated on the EC comic books, which were Tales in the Crypt, Vault of Horror, Weird Science, Two-Fisted Tales, like Mad Magazine as well. But more recently, I got into the underground comics. Robert Crumb, I really like. This guy S. Clay Wilson, I guess that's kind of from the 60s. And then these days, there's so much, I'm almost overwhelmed. I mean, comic books came back big. When I was a teenager, they were sort of on the way out, and people wondered if the comic books would last. But these days, I'm a little out of my league, I think.
Do you know John Dolmayan? He's the drummer from System of a Down.
Okay.
He has a million comic books.
I met John at Ozfest. He's a big-time collector, huh?
Yeah, he has a huge, gigantic warehouse in Las Vegas.
No, he's an online
million.
Store. Too.
Yeah, does anyone remember the website for the online store, Anderson? Anyone?
www.toolcomics.com?
No, come on.
What?
No, he has over a million comic books. You can go on his website and you can buy any of them, as little as 1 cent. To some are like 40, 50 grand or something like that.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the biggest collections in the U.S.
It's pretty big, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Van Gogh is second. All right, we're going to go to break. Andrew W.K. is here. We'll be back on Loveline.
Loveline is coming back.
800-LOVE-191.
Loveline with Stryker and Dr. Drew.
There I go.
All right, Andrew W.K., it was fantastic meeting you.
Thank you, Stryker. This was a great pleasure.
You are one talented, well-versed human being, I may say.
Coming from you, that really means a lot. Thank you.
We got to go visit his club in New York. Come on.
100%. The club is called Santos Party House. And also, don't forget, August 26th, Lee Perry's album is coming out. Andrew produced it, and it could be one of his last ones. Not Andrew's, but Lee's.
Let's hope not, but that's anything's possible.
There you go. What else we got? I feel like we're early right now.
Yeah,
we got an extra minute. Anything anybody want to say before we go?
I want to say that everybody should focus on doing what they really, really love to do, and the more energy you put into that, then the easier it will get, and the more fun it will get, and all those other things like problems will go away because you won't be paying attention to them.
And my 10-second thing is, you can achieve anything you want.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah,
anything
exactly.
can happen. You never know. Even Pedro
Stryker.
From Napoleon Dynamite said it, and me.
Yeah, if Stryker can pull off what he's done, then anybody can do
it. Anybody.
You're a bunch of jackasses.
No.
Go Arizona Wildcats. And on that note, we're going to wrap up Loveline. For Petey and Anderson and our mascot Stanley and Andrew W.K. and Dr. Drew, I'm Stryker. It's been Loveline. Bye.
I really want to see the muscles.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Engels, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One.
I really want to see it.